Good to see everybody here today. Hope you've had a good week this past week. Want to welcome our visitors. We have several. I can't tell you their names, but I can tell you where they're from. But if you go up to them and ask them where they're from, they'll also tell you what their name is. So we'll do it that way. Appreciate the song service this morning. The privilege of being able to get together and sing together about the love of God and about the beauty of the faith we share and just everything that is beautiful about Christianity. We're very privileged. And I know you feel that privilege. I don't think you'd be here this morning were that not the case. This morning I want to talk about the anticipation of heaven. I appreciated Guy's class this last quarter, and I appreciated his talking about the necessity for us to kind of get our focus off of some of the things that everybody seems to focus on, especially in recent times, and put our focus where it belongs. The Bible readings this week, if you've been following along and just taking a chapter a day, have been in John. And John chapter 14 was one of the chapters that we read. And I want to start by reading the first six verses of John 14. The setting for this is the Last Supper. Jesus is speaking to the 11 faithful apostles. Judas has already left. And so now it's just those who are left that love Jesus with all their heart. And he's explaining to them that he's about to go. They've been with him for three and a half years, probably by this point. They've been through a lot of dangers together. They've been through a lot of just different occasions together. And they've received incredible encouragement from Christ. But now he's about to leave, and you can imagine how sad they would be. But he starts off by saying in verse 1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." Just think about what this must have been like for this group of faithful followers of Christ. There's the sadness of his leaving, but the excitement that he's going to prepare a place for them. If you were going to prepare a place for someone you loved, for your family, what would it be like? For those of you who are parents or grandparents, or who may be parents or grandparents someday, what kind of plans would you make for your family, for your loved ones? I think we would try and find a place that had us there, don't you? We'd want to be together. There would be a stability that the world lacks. I think there'd be beauty there. I think the place that we were making, we would design it in such a way that those we were making it for would just be delighted when they saw it. Carolyn and I used to go through just house after house when we lived in Casper. When I was a real estate appraiser, they gave me keys, and we had lots of vacant houses. And so we would just go through them, and we would just look and see what we liked, and we would dream, and we would just see different things, different locations. There was a place in Casper that was called Garden Creek that was at the foot of the mountain, and a waterfall came down, and then a creek ran through it. Just gorgeous area. Wind blew about 70 miles an hour every day, but other than that, it was really pretty. The mountain was beautiful. I think about, I was just thinking about our teen trip. As a matter of fact, yesterday I was talking to somebody from in town, and I was just talking about how we always go up to the Rocky Mountain Forest. We've done other places, but we keep going back there, one, because I'm not very imaginative, but two, because it's beautiful. You're up in the mountains. You're in a place where you have to have a fire and a coat sometimes to stay warm in July or August. And we take our kids who have been mowing all summer long and sucking in all the dust from all of our widows' lawns, and it just didn't seem right to reward them by taking them to Dallas in July. So we'd go up and would see the beauty, and some of the beauty you have to experience it to really appreciate it. Some of the views looking down off of a mountain onto other mountains and seeing lakes that have been formed by the melting of glaciers and seeing the power of God. If we were preparing a place for those we love, I imagine we would have incredible beauty there. We'd have safety there, would we not? To use the improper English. We would... We'd want our kids and our loved ones safe, protected from evil people. Just think about all the things that you would choose. And here Jesus is going, one with perfect knowledge. And if he's gone to prepare a place for his 11 apostles, we believe that applies to us as well. Think about what they provided for us here on earth that's just temporary. And how beautiful some of the things are here. And think about how temporary is way inferior to the permanent. I was thinking about going to a barbecue and maybe getting some of Yancey's really good brisket, but the people that were serving it would give you temporary utensils. Yancey would not do that. But have you ever, those forks they give you and those plastic knives, and you stick the fork in that good meat and you're ready for that good meat and you have to saw on it with that plastic knife because there's only like three little serrated parts of it, and then you break your fork so you can't even eat your beans with it. And, well, this world is the temporary. People get so attached to the beauty of this world, and rightfully so. A loving God created this world for us, but it's just temporary. It's nothing like it's going to be in heaven. I can only imagine, and like I say, I believe we need to be anticipating it. We need to get over this idea of we might get sick and die. We're going to die. I've loved the observation that so far the mortality rate on this earth is 100%. Only Enoch and Elijah got out alive. And still, you throw those two in there and you divide it out statistically, it's still 100%. We were made for this temporary, these plastic forks and knives to wear out. And so one of the parts of our new home is the new home for our spirit, whatever container God has for that. I think about all the things I enjoy doing here. I was really blessed. If you weren't blessed with a good childhood, I'm really sorry. My parents were really careful with that. They were protective of us, but we kind of grew up in the safest, most fantastic time America has known. When I was a little boy, even my birth order was good. They'd already made the mistakes on being too careful with my brother. And my little sister was deathly ill, which I didn't like, but it caused them to focus on her. And so basically, from the time I got out of school until supper time, that was my own. As long as I showed up for supper, man, golden. And in the summertime, between breakfast and supper was my time. And I'd get on my bike and I would ride. I'll bet I've ridden the equivalent of going around the world 20 times on my bike when I was a kid. And it was safe to do so. I wouldn't recommend that for your kids today, just to ride into Seattle or Houston or Denver. I don't know that I'd recommend you riding on parts of Amarillo. But you think about what we've got waiting for us. Are you going to take a chance with missing that? Because way too many people are thinking that this is the main thing and everything about heaven is just an afterthought. And it's not until we get our mind focused on what is right, the permanent, before we can really enjoy this temporary in the way that God wants us to, but also to take advantage of the time in helping other people get to the permanent. In Revelation chapter 20, we have an insight of, first of all, a prophetic insight of what the judgment is going to be like, as far as our minds can understand it. And then following that, we're given a glimpse of what heaven will be like. And again, it's couched in prophetic terms and phrases, so I don't know that it's going to be exactly like this, but it'll be better than what you can imagine. But it begins with the judgment. It begins with this warning, make sure you're on the right side of judgment. I saw a great white throne, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, and him who was seated on it, earth and sky fled from his presence. There was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. This is why it's so important for us to be in Christ. This is why it's so important for us to have had the shed blood of Christ cover our sins and remove our sins. This is why it's so important for us to be in Christ so that we can experience the grace of God. Because we're going to be judged according to what we have done. And if we don't have the blood of Christ and the grace of God, we're lost. But we do. And so as we read this, we read with anticipation. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, verse 13, death, and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done. For all those who have perverted the scriptures to make it sound as if we are not responsible for works for our life, understand you're going to be judged according to what you've done. And again, we've got the grace of God. And we've got the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf, in our favor, if we're in Christ. Death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Imagine having the opportunity to go to this place of safety and beauty and love, to be with the Father and the Son, to be with all those who have been faithful, to be in a place where, as we're going to read in a moment, there will be no tears or sorrow, and you blow it because you are so focused on this physical world. What a shame that would be. Revelation 21, verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There's no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. Some of you men, if you can remember back that far, it's not as far for some of us, some of you, in nearly 40 years for me, like yesterday. But you can remember what it was like when you saw your bride beautifully dressed. And you knew that you were not worthy. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. This is the formal covenant language of the Bible, where God says, I will be your God, and you will be my people. An incredible gift. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Think about some of the things we have been through recently. I cannot tell you how appreciative I am for your faithfulness in your attendance. I cannot tell all of those of you who have come in the last year how appreciative we are to you. We've lost about a dozen people here in the last year. It's been a hard year, and as was pointed out, it hadn't been COVID that's taken our people. It's just been the natural things of life. And yet we've had that soothed because we've had so many new people come in. But the tears are still there. When you lose a loved one, there has to be tears, or what kind of a relationship would it have been? But he'll wipe away every tear. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. The temporary is gone, and now the permanent is about to begin. I'm looking forward to that. He who is seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. Then he said, write these down for these words are trustworthy and true. He said, it's done. God is speaking, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. Do you remember when Christ said that to the Samaritan woman? I have a water that if you drink it, you'll never thirst. And now God talks about that water. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. A second time of this formal covenant language, this guarantee. But then he points this out, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. We've got to make sure that if we have sin in our life, that we take care of it in God's way. We have too many people who think they can accept the grace of God without accepting the terms of grace. We have way too many people who think that they can accept the cleansing blood of Christ without having been covered with the cleansing blood of Christ by being baptized into his death. And it's a believer's baptism. It's not something you do to somebody else. It's something that you willingly do because you believe, because of your faith in Christ, because of the fact that you have repented of what you have done in your old life, and now you're ready for the old man to be buried and the new man to be raised to walk in newness of life. That's what we have waiting for us. In verse 22 of chapter 21, I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light. Verse 26, the glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter into it. I have to tell you, the thing I have to work on about as much as any is my attitude towards those who have been impure to the innocent. There is a sense of justice that we have lost in our modern world where we'll allow our innocent people to have their purity stolen from them from somebody who is impure, whether it's through some act or through some teaching. I was talking to somebody that was talking about a curriculum that was put in a town very close to us. And in that curriculum, he said, were some of the vilest things that you would not even want to discuss that they are showing within this health class. That's how vile they are. And they're taking that because they've been given a great grant and lots of money to teach that to their children. I can only imagine the punishment that is waiting for those people if they don't repent. And the punishment that's waiting for the parents who permit their children to be subject to that type of garbage. When it says nothing impure is going to enter into heaven, oh, what's that going to be like? For those of you who have small children, what would it be like to never worry about your small child ever being in danger? Or your wife ever being in danger because of somebody's evil? Nothing impure will enter in it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This place that Jesus has gone to prepare is perfect, and it's eternal, and it is going to be safe, and we are going to be bathed in love. We're going to have the Father and the Son there. Every righteous person who has ever lived, and even though they had already failed the test because of their unrighteousness, because by accepting the terms that God offered to them under whatever covenant they were under, they're there. We'll be there. We need to be expecting to go there, not because we deserve it, but because we're planning on going to the place we don't deserve. But we do know what God's covenant says. And we have to honor those terms. I've been more disappointed in recent years with the church's lack of ability to stand on God's terms. I don't mean this congregation. I love this congregation. But the church, the universal church, it just seems like there's been one compromise after another after another. God's covenant is not for discussion or compromise. God's covenant is here. You'll do this, I'll be your God, and you'll be my people. There is no greater status, and we get to enjoy that for all eternity. But it's His covenant. Are you going there? Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. Behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me. I'll give to everyone according to what he's done. One of the things I love about Christ is that if we'll accept His terms, His Father's terms, then He'll give to us according to the righteous things we've done. And the unrighteous things that have been washed away will be remembered no more. Looking forward to that. Verse 18, I warn everyone who hears the words, the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. He's talking about hell. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life in the holy city. He's talking about heaven. So don't add to it and don't take away from it. But he says, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I'm coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Just before he says that, in verse 17, come, whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. We're going to heaven if we accept God's terms. And what heaven will be like, we can only imagine. But it'll be beyond our wildest dreams. Invitation's open. It may be that you are not a Christian yet and you're ready to become one. And if that is the case, we would love to help you with that today. Maybe you need the prayers of the congregation. But if you do have any needs, won't you come forward now while we stand and sing and let those needs be known.